The views expressed on this episode are solely those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff or management of KTEP, the University of Texas at El Paso, and or the UT Board of Regents. Welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. I'm Dennis Wu, and I am joined by Carrie Wilkie. Now, you're running a whole new thing. It's a support group here in El Paso for Crohn's and colitis and all the things that go bump and grind with our GI tract.
Yes, that is a good way to put it.
First off, welcome to El Paso Primetime.
Thank you very much for having me. I do have a support group for Crohn's, colitis, lupus, autoimmune diseases as a whole. So MS, fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis. So it's a little bit of everything.
My goodness. How did you wind up getting involved in getting the support group started? I mean, I know that at some point or another, there comes a time when you have to stand up and say, look, we got to take care of this.
I am from the El Paso area. And given that, I know that there is not anything like that here in the West Texas, Southern New Mexico area. And it's something that I personally suffer from Crohn's. And having lived in, you know, larger metroplexes areas, it's something that's needed and was not here. So I took the initiative to start one and make it happen. And fortunate that with my background in healthcare as a social worker, not only being an advocate, but a patient and taking that knowledge and sharing it with the community.
How long have you been in the healthcare field?
Over 20 years.
So you've seen it all.
Yes.
What is it about Crohn's and colitis that is now making national, almost international prominence, whereas maybe 10 years ago, it was one of those things you just never really talked about?
A lot of people, larger stars, individuals such as Lady Gaga, have come out in the open and let it be known that they do suffer from autoimmune diseases. And the bigger issue is having the connection with our larger foundation, the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America, and getting that information, educating the community about it and your healthcare providers as well.
Maybe we should start with the explanation of what the difference is between Crohn's and colitis, because they're similar, but they're not.
They are. Crohn's, in a nutshell, affects your large intestines. To put it simply, it basically backs your system up, sometimes indefinitely. Colitis is with your smaller intestines, and though both are very similar, they're different in the areas that they affect.
Inflammatory bowel disease is different from, what's the other one that I'm thinking about? I had it on the tip of my tongue, but I know one is more prominent than the other. One is actually more damaging than the other.
Yes. Crohn's is much more damaging on your system because it can be to the point where you have to have your whole intestines removed and then have what's known as a colostomy bag placed. And that's where your system will manage its feces and learn then at that point how to take care of that.
Mm-hmm. When you got diagnosed, how did that all happen? I know that's a sensitive topic.
No, not at all. Part of the reason I started this group is, in this case, I am the face of it for the El Paso, New Mexico area, and that's fine. I had suffered approximately a week with lower right abdominal pain. Being a woman, we're a little tougher. We have some other female issues. I thought nothing of it. Then it had continued. My husband took me to the ER. Turns out when they did the scan, I had calcification built up in my abdominal area. And I was like, oh, that's a pretty picture. Well, you realize that's not supposed to be there. Oh, well, turns out, had I not gone into the ER when I did, my appendix would have ruptured. Once I went into emergency surgery, that was actually secondary to the Crohn's diagnosis. And that's how I got discovered.
When someone has a symptom and decides to overlook it, that would probably be the problem to just start the dominoes to fall.
Correct. One of the biggest things that I teach my group members and advocate myself is to recognize what is going on with your body, as you know your body best. If you've had continuous nausea, vomiting, low-grade fever, you notice that your abdominal area, you're very distended, meaning that it's swollen, something's not right.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice a recurrence of it, then again, you may want to see your primary care physician. He may then refer you to a specialist.
There's a thing called ulcer, what is it?
Ulcer. UC.
Yeah,
that'll be easier.
Yeah.
Ulcerative colitis.
Okay. That, too, is incredibly damaging, incredibly painful. Where do we go from there?
The pain that one experiences when they do have Crohn's, colitis, IBS, UC, is constant abdominal pain. And the catch with these types of diseases is it's not something that the layperson can see. It is inside constant pain. And one may complain, oh, my tummy hurts. What one doesn't realize is there is a war that's being fought inside your body. And you, granted, you may learn to manage, but there are moments the pain is excruciating. And along with the pain, you also may suffer from nausea, vomiting, severe dehydration, dizziness even, balance problems. So there is a multitude of little things that can become bigger things.
You mentioned lupus. You mentioned a number of other maladies, if you will, that you've created a support group so that everyone gets involved in it, including fibromyalgia. Are they all related?
Yes, these are all different types of autoimmune diseases. And even most people don't realize it, but also diabetes is as well. And the bigger picture is, for now, I have them grouped together. My hope is as my group grows, then I can branch out and have specific chapters, smaller groups for it.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, it's all together.
I saw a statistic not too long ago that 1.5 million people suffer from Crohn's disease and over 2 million with the other one that I can't pronounce, ulcerative colitis.
UC. We'll make it easy.
UC. Yeah. And it seems like the numbers are growing not only here in the States, but now it's beginning to grow internationally. So is this an environmental thing? Is this genetic combination? What do you think?
Personally, I think it's a combination of both. For the most part, research states that it is more of hereditary type disease, genetic, as opposed to environmental. However, given that, you have to realize that in today's day and age, we're all about being on the go and fast food and a lot of heavy fatty foods, a lot of processed foods, and all of that takes a toll on your GI system. And given that, if you have to recognize, you know, so if you've been drinking dairy and it just doesn't feel right, and you've been doing that since you were a little kid, mm-hmm. and you've not done anything about it, all that can affect everything else.
As young as 6 or 7 years old, I'm starting to see a lot of data that says that these things are starting to crop up more and more. It seems like the medical community is becoming more aware of how young one can develop Crohn's and all the associated diseases and whatnot.
Very true. And fortunately, that is on the uprise, that our community, medical community, is aware of that. Before, it used to be, if you were a young child, they just have a tummy ache. Here you go. You're fine. Go home. And yet those symptoms are constantly recurring. Now, in hindsight, when doctors look at that data, they're like, this individual's now at this point, 40 years later, has that diagnosis of Crohn's. They're able to look at the bigger picture. partly because of the community doing the research and data available, partly because it's not so much a disease to be embarrassed about.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, I know not in this area, but I did learn this statement from a friend of one of my members in my group. Is in the Seattle area, they have the IBS Center, which focuses strictly on like irritable bowel, Crohn's, et cetera. And an individual once stated that when you have Crohn's, colitis, et cetera, you have a quote-unquote artistic disease. And that was one of the best statements. I was like, that's incredible because it's so individualized. How I feel at this moment compared to 2 hours from now could be completely different. And how it may affect my counterpart, yet we both have the same disease.
That in of itself is a rather intriguing way to look at this whole thing. So how, when you deal with it in a support group, I know you talk about it, but how can you come to a collective agreement on how to best deal with it?
One of the things I have my members do is, the biggest thing is that there's other individuals there that understand what they're going through, that it's not just in my head.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, I ask my members, what is it that they're looking for? You know, what topic would you like to discuss? And I'll come to the table for the following month with those specific ideas in mind. And also give them recommendations from my background as a medical worker. You know, learning to keep a food journal, know what your symptoms are, know what your personal system can manage. It may be there's everything out there. Don't eat gluten. Don't eat this. Don't do that. Well, my list of the don'ts compared to the, you know, what I can do mm-hmm. is way longer. And if I followed all the don'ts, then I'm not sure I'd really be eating anything or drinking anything other than water.
Right.
Because everything has the side effect of everything else. So it's knowing what works best for you. Here in this area, we love our Mexican food.
Mm-hmm.
We love it. We love our carbs. However, what people have to realize, especially with the autoimmune disease, is those carbs turn into sugar. The sugar affects the GI tract. So everything affects everything else. But you could also be an individual that can eat the tortillas, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually settles your stomach versus your counterpart, same disease, can't get anywhere near a tortilla. Even the thought of them, they're sick.
I think for the layperson listening to the show, I think maybe can we break that down into something that we can all understand?
The easiest way to understand an autoimmune disease is that it's something that's not always visible. And when you hear your family member, friend, if you are aware that they may have fibromyalgia or RA, Crohn's, you know, oh, my joints hurt today. Or they'll tell you, you know, it's going to rain tomorrow. Listen to what they're saying and give them the credit. It's not all fluff. They know their body best. They know what's going on. Individuals that do suffer from these types of diseases are much stronger than you think mm-hmm. because they are managing their pain daily. And, you know, for an individual to state, you know, I'm really hurting today. Their pain level may actually be like a 20 out of 10, which might be like a 10 out of 10 for you. They've learned to manage. Listen to them. Support them. It's not something you can fix, but it's something that you can just be there for them and not pity them. That's the best medicine, is to be supportive and recognize that, hey, we're all entitled to a bad day.
Carrie Wilkie is our guest this afternoon on El Paso Primetime. We're talking about anything and everything that has to deal with your body specifically in terms of pain management, in terms of your new Facebook page. Well, it's not that new anymore. I mean, it's been out there for about a year or so, but it's been growing in leaps and bounds. Let's talk a little bit about how social media is actually helping your support group garner more and more attention.
Yes. Through word of mouth, through social media, I have individuals calling, oh, I heard about your group. You know, I'd like to know more about lupus or what, you know, can you tell me what I can and can't eat? And I'm very fortunate through my background in this area, in medical information as well, that I'm able to connect with the right individuals. And I've had guest speakers come to our groups, nutritionists, nurses, I've got a physician scheduled for the October meeting. So it's a big thing. Like, the goal is to educate and to support and advocate and teach the members, you know what's going on with your body and things to keep on hand, not just, you know, for Crohn's, colitis, but, you know, little things to keep on hand that you know work well for you. Your, you know, water, crackers, 7-Up. Personally, I recommend, like, any diet, like a diet 7-Up, diet Sprite, because that sugar on a regular is very high, which also affects your system. But the bubbles can also settle your tummy. So it's a catch-22.
Okay. I get it. When do you have your meetings?
We have our meetings on the third Tuesday of every month. Locations do vary. However, I am in the process of setting up a set conference room through Sierra Medical. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, timing. It always happens that way.
You know, it's a show like this that hopefully somebody will say, hey, listen, you know, I really need this. You could be a caregiver and not know what lupus really does.
Very true. And the group is open not only to individuals that suffer from these specific diseases, but their caregivers, their family members, because being able to connect with others that understand or don't understand or have experienced it is the bigger picture. It's not always about just the disease. And I have a personal motto. Yes, I'm disabled. Yes, I'm sick. But I am not my disease. I'm Carrie, and I am so much more than what I am on paper.
You are a pillar of strength. First off, I will tell you that much. I respect the way that you carry yourself. I know that you're in pain, and yet you wouldn't know it by the way you do things. It's a wonderful thing. Now, managing pain is always going to be a one-to-one-to-one sort of a thing. One person may not be able to manage as well as another. But with the support group, everyone can manage to a point.
Yes. And in managing your pain, you have to realize it's not only physical, but it's mental and emotional. And knowing your own barriers and the support system that you have, not just with the support group, but your family members, your extended friends, and how sometimes they actually may be attributing to your stress, which then attributes to your symptoms and maybe, you know, a flare-up and so on. So that's one of the reasons behind the group, is sharing with each other and educating the community.
In a nutshell, how early can you develop lupus? And I know it stays with you for the rest of your life, but how does one manage, once diagnosed, how does one manage to get through it all?
I think the biggest would be having the support of your family and understanding the disease itself. It affects, as we've said, each individual differently. An individual can, their joints be so sore that to get out of bed, you know, maybe 3 feet is so painful for them. Same goes for somebody with RA. But on top of that, individuals that do have lupus also get very bad sores on their skin. And unfortunately, sometimes our public will judge that, she's diseased or sick or whatever the case may be, not knowing that the individual is actually very ill. Part of it is being comfortable in yourself and understanding your disease. The other part is educating and empowering yourself not to be ashamed. I want my members, I want my family members, I want everybody in the community to understand that this isn't a disease that I'm ashamed of. I didn't ask for it. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of us do. But I do have it, and I can manage it. And I can have good days and bad days and teach others as well. And that's why I bring it back to it being so much more than just physical. It is emotional. It is, you know, mental and, depending on the individual, also spiritual.
Exactly right. And I'm thinking, as you're talking about this, that oftentimes we'll give a person a pass because they have had a cancer. will give a person a pass because they've had a broken arm or something like that. But when it comes to an autoimmune disease, because there's not really that much that a layperson will actually sit down and read about, the mystery still kind of like revolves around it. How do we help that person become more self-aware of the surroundings and the people around them and be more understanding?
The biggest advice that I can offer personally would be don't pity them. If they have lupus, okay, so tell me about it. Teach mm-hmm. me. What are there symptoms you have or something that I can help you with? When you're having a bad days or something, maybe it could be getting that glass of water. That goes so much further than let me buy you all this, material things. Mm-hmm. It's the little things that count in cases like this. And that's, if you have MS, fibromyalgia, when somebody says, my joints really hurt or the pain, my hand is, in this position and it's stuck, I can't stretch it, or there's a reason. Don't think of it like, you're just looking for pity, you're fine, toughen up. I toughen up every day. Every day that I'm given another day on this earth, I toughen up. But there are days that truly can kick somebody's butt.
I could see that. How do they get a hold of you in order to attend the next meeting?
I have a Facebook page, El Paso Crohn's. Also, my email is cwilkie@elpasocrohns.com.
Where do we go from here in terms of extending the support group? I know that people listening in the immediate area would love it, but you've got people in Las Cruces, Deming, Alamogordo, people who stream. Where do they go?
As I grow, my hope is to have an overall chapter, El Paso Crohn's, Colitis Foundation, and then break down into smaller groups. Right now, I do have my meetings centrally located, but at some point, I know that I plan to have meetings strictly west side area, east side area, and up to Las Cruces area as well. I've even gone so far with some of my members that do not drive, going and meeting with them personally, talking with them on the phone. So I am available at all times, and it's sometimes just that listening ear mm-hmm. to understand, like, I'm not the only one.
The whole conversation that you and I have had prior to coming into this whole thing was fueled by a friend of mine who moved to New Jersey and then was diagnosed with Crohn's. And when I found out about it, I had no idea what it was. Then you start watching TV and you see the ads for all these little medicines and everything. And they paint a different picture of what Crohn's can be, what colitis can be. It's almost sanitized.
Mm-hmm. They make it pretty. But the reality is the individual that does suffer from these types of diseases, my longest hospital stay was 6 weeks. When you have an autoimmune disease, people have to realize that you are immune suppressant. Mm-hmm. So if I have an individual that has a slight cough, I'm already at risk for getting that cough, which makes it even worse. My 3-day cough actually can turn into a 3-week stay in the hospital. And the disease itself, fortunately, has gotten more attention by the bigger society, but it is not pretty.
Mm-hmm.
You can be bowled over and just things coming out at both ends you didn't know were coming, and it's just the nature of the disease. We could be great right now,
mm-hmm.
and in 2 hours, now I don't wish this for myself, but I could be back in the ER. It is that unpredictable.
Same can be said with fibromyalgia too, right?
Yes.
I don't think people have a proper handle on what fibromyalgia really can do. I know it's debilitating.
Very debilitating on an individual's, their body as a whole, but more specifically with their joints and the ability to even walk a foot, because its area, it likes to attack your hands, your elbows, your knees, all the very important parts that we need to move from point A and B. And what individuals don't realize is, as I stated previously, think of it as a little war raging inside your body. And no, you can't do it. You know, the little train that could, he thinks he can. He thinks he can. And you think you can, but your body says, psych.
Multiple sclerosis is the same way?
Very much the same. And that, with that particular disease, it is slightly more visible. It's in that it's had more attention. You see individuals on a severe level that may be wheelchair bound. You can see the change with their joints, their arms, their legs, their feet. But realize that even though you may see that, there's still a war going on inside in how they feel. The same way you feel when somebody touches you with a pin, they're going to feel that 10 times worse.
Let's repeat the way that they can get a hold of you once again, because it's a very important thing to repeat your contact information.
Yes. I have a Facebook page, El Paso Crohn's. They can reach out to me through my email at ccwilkie@elpasocrohns.com. They can also reach out via phone or text message at area code 214-708-2989.
And all of this information will be up on our website here shortly so that you can go ahead and access it, not only the program, but the information in order to contact you. As you look ahead to growing this group into different areas in the city and probably different areas in the county, you realize that once you do that, now you're going to have to get into a regional area.
Yes. I am in contact with the larger foundation, Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America. I have also started the process to set up my 501(c), which is a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And I'm currently in search of and for my board members and wanting to get the right people on board that not only support this, but are aware of it and understand the reason behind it.
It's important that not only the board gets behind it, but the community gets behind you.
Yes.
Because pick a family, anywhere, and you know that someone in that family is going to have an autoimmune disorder that's going to really change the fabric of how that family operates.
Yes, and the goal is to be able to help each and every individual. And as I grow, individuals may not realize, even the community as a whole, how expensive it is to be sick and how much your medication costs. And I personally go and get infusion, and it's, you know, it's not free. So it's something, you know, my goal is as I get larger and being able to give back to the community, have fundraisers, and share with everyone as a whole.
Anytime that something comes up, a fundraiser or a three, come on back. I'd love to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Time to thank June Urbina, our summer intern who recorded this episode. She'll now join the KTEP staff as a production and on-air staff assistant in September. Thanks to Deirdre Westenhauser from Edmonton's Capital Creative Digital Services for providing much-needed post-production assistance up north. And most of all, thank you, the listener, for checking out this episode of El Paso Primetime.